Dean Lamar, 1 Numa Guy, 1974, Acrylic on Canvas, Collection of the Artist. UC Berkeley, Finding Her Voice. I didn't learn I had a voice until I went to Berkeley and watched another student question a professor, Jean Lamar. In 1974, Lamar was the only Native American art student enrolled at the University of California, Berkeley. Although she'd already received degrees from San Jose City College and Philco Ford Technical Institute in Santa Clara, Lamar was drawn to Berkeley's emphasis on fine art and research. Even though the university was undergoing a period of progressive change and reorganization in the early 1970s, Lamar found herself in an art department clinging to a Eurocentric art historical tradition with an emphasis on modern abstract styles. Her professors highly discouraged her from incorporating cultural, social, or political content into her artwork. They said if you include anything representing your cultural background, it's not art anymore. They called it folk art, Lamar explains. The uncomfortable politics of the art department were constant during Lamar's time at UC Berkeley, but they did not deter her from challenging the biases of professors and honoring her culture. In doing so, her art became a part of a larger activist strategy to deliberately resist and challenge the educational system. Jean Lamar, Going Back to the Res, 1974, Oil on Canvas, Collection of the Nevada Museum of Art, purchased with funds from deaccessioning. Going Back to the Res is one of Lamar's most significant early works. As a student at UC Berkeley, she was frequently told by her instructors to not refer to her Native American culture in her paintings. Going Back to the Res is a metaphor for Lamar's personal journey and transformation. It represents the moment that she gave herself permission to embrace her culture and her community in her art making. The painting depicts her relatives piled into the back of an old green pickup truck headed to a family gathering known as a big time, not far from her home in Susanville. Jean Lamar, Green Shawl, Not Dated, Oil and Enamel on Canvas, Collection of the Artist. Jean Lamar, Lena, 1922 and Now, 1985, Photo Etching, Collection of the Nevada Museum of Art, purchased with funds provided by the Orchard House Foundation. While researching in the photographic archives in UC Berkeley's Kroeber Hall, Lamar discovered a photograph of her great aunt, Lena Joaquin Calvin, from 1922. The field anthropologist Edward Giffert, 1887 to 1959, photographed Lena as part of his ethnographic study purporting to infer racial differences based on physical attributes such as cranial measurements. Lamar made this work in an effort to rescue her great aunt from the archival filing cabinets where her image was stored away and cataloged as a specimen. Lamar combined Giffert's historical photograph on the left with a personal family photograph of Lena as an elder on the right. Then Lamar surrounded the images with lavender, pink, and red roses, the colors she once saw Lena wearing. Jean Lamar, California Dance Skirt, 1974, Etching. Collection of the Nevada Museum of Art, purchased with funds provided by the Orchard House Foundation. Among the archaeological artifacts in UC Berkeley's Kroeber Hall, Lamar discovered a fringed apron-like dance skirt that would have been worn over a longer skirt as part of a woman's ceremonial regalia. Inspired by the design of the object, she photographed it numerous times and used it as the basis for this etching. This print is a precursor to Lamar's later interest in non-Native appropriation of traditional indigenous attire and regalia. Reclaiming her cultural ancestry. When Lamar was a student at UC Berkeley, the art department was located in Kroeber Hall, the same building that housed the anthropology department's vast ethnographic and photographic research collections. The building was named after Alfred Kroeber, 1876 to 1960, an anthropologist who collected Native American human remains and other artifacts to study, and who argued that some Native American tribes had become extinct. While taking art classes upstairs in Kroeber Hall, Lamar became interested in the Native American collections housed in the basement. At first, archivists were reluctant to grant Lamar access to the materials, but after a friend with a PhD vouched for her, Lamar spent hours researching among the shelves, drawers, and display cases. She found hundreds of woven baskets and textiles, many of which had been unearthed and looted from sacred sites in the Sierra Nevada and Great Basin homelands of Lamar's ancestors. The items became the basis for Lamar's early printmaking experiments with texture, patterning, and geometric design. Alfred Kroeber's name was removed from the UC Berkeley Anthropology Building in 2020. Jean Lamar, top left to right, untitled 1977 etching, untitled 1977 etching, bottom left to right, basket design series number 3, 1977 etching, basket design series number 2, 1977 etching, all collection of the artist. Princess Pale Moon, Jean Lamar. Princess Pale Moon from the series Minnehaha Lives, 1995. Acrylic with mixed media on wood. Collection of the Nevada Museum of Art, purchased with funds provided by the Orchard House Foundation. Lamar has dedicated much of her research to the fictional female character Minnehaha, who appears in Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's epic 1855 narrative poem, Song of Hiawatha. Over many generations, Longfellow's character, Minnehaha, helped to firmly establish sexist stereotypes of Native American women in popular culture. One widely circulated calendar print by F.R. Harper from the late 1920s depicts an anonymous long-haired Native woman dressed in fringed buckskin along a placid moonlit river. Disgusted by images like Harper's that objectified Native women as objects, Lamar decided to make the image the basis of her interactive installation titled Princess Pale Moon. Set to the music of Slim Whitman's Indian Love Call, Lamar invites visitors to dress up as Indian princesses. The invitation, however, is a ploy that tricks participants into an act of reverse cultural appropriation. No longer does the viewer gaze upon the Indian maiden, but rather, it is Lamar who gets to gaze upon the participant. While serious in intent, the installation also reveals Lamar's penchant for employing trickster humor. After all, watching hundreds of people dress up like Indian princesses can be quite entertaining. Humor is our savior, Lamar says sarcastically of watching them play Indian. F.R. Harper, Indian Maiden, No Comis, Daughter of the Moon, late 1920s, calendar print, 9 by 7 inches. Jean Lamar, left to right, West, the Sierras, 1998, acrylic on canvas, collection of the artist. South, Roundhouse, 1998, acrylic on canvas, collection of the artist. East, Cortez Mountains, 1998, acrylic on canvas, collection of the artist. Looking east from Lamar's homelands in Susanville are the Cortez Mountains. Lamar closely followed the environmental tragedy that unfolded in central Nevada when Western Shoshone sisters Mary and Carrie Dan fought the Bureau of Land Management in an effort to protect their homelands in the Cortez Mountains from large-scale gold mining operations. Lamar interviewed the sisters and produced a video of them telling stories about their sacred lands. This painting depicts the sacred Cortez Mountains overlaid with jagged zigzag shapes representing the mining industry. The earth is piled up in huge mounds and sprayed with cyanide and water to leach out the gold. North Mount Shasta, 1998, acrylic on canvas with handmade paper, collection of the artist. Native People, Sacred Lands. These four large paintings feature sacred sites and ceremonies in Lamar's homelands that she considered in jeopardy due to the ongoing resource extraction, corporate influence, mismanaged tourism, and lack of government protection. If one were standing in Lamar's home in Susanville, each canvas in her series represents a view in a different direction. To the north is Mount Shasta, to the south is the Roundhouse in Janesville, to the west are the Sierra, and to the east are the Cortez Mountains. Throughout the world, sacred lands are being destroyed for the sake of economic development. The Supreme Court continues to allow the destruction of sacred lands in the United States, Lamar argues. If a religious site does not have stained glass windows, it cannot be a real religion. This policy continues to deny freedom of religion for Native people. When Lamar's canvases are displayed on the wall, their size and color overwhelm the viewer, producing an effect that is not unlike standing before stained glass. However, Lamar does not intend to evoke the feeling of a church. Rather, she reminds us that it is the land that is most sacred to Native people.